Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. And this is The Big Conversation. This is The Great Debate, but only if you join in. So hit the phones, please. The numbers are on the screen below me. We're talking about the continued killings in so-called Saudi Arabia and occupied Bahrain. We're talking about the Olympic Games, which has turned the east end of London into a militarily occupied zone with rockets and missiles situated on the roofs of people's houses against their will. Some of them were in the British courts this week trying to have the missiles removed, so far unsuccessfully, setting the precedent that the government can come and put tanks, missiles, anything on your lawn or on your roof in this free country of ours, whether you like it or not. And we're talking about Libya, where the elections are underway and where a liberal who was a Gaddafi minister until the revolution in Libya began, claims to have won them. Are they real elections? Did he really win them? Is he really a liberal? And what does it all mean anyway in a country that may very well fall apart? So let's go all the way to Canada, talk to Gary about Saudi Arabia. Gary, welcome to the show.
Good day, George. Wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you, my friend. What would you like to say?
Well, I wanted to talk about two subjects. First, on the matter of Saudi Arabia. I, of course, have grown up in Canada, and we've been swamped with the American point of view all my life. And, of course, the American point of view that we were swamped with for a long time was having been a British colony and having won our so-called independence from Britain with British approval, how much wonderful it was that we now were much more influenced by the United States, which has a written constitution and a wonderful formal democracy. And it's not like the messy British constitution, which isn't written down, and you know the whole story. Well, now we have this wonderful situation that we can all see with Saudi Arabia. So I went and did some investigation, George, and I found out something very interesting about the relations of the United States with Saudi Arabia. Are you or your listeners aware there is no treaty between the United States and Saudi Arabia?
No.
Which means there's no arrangement that had to be discussed in the U.S. Senate, to which the U.S. voter has access. There's nothing that can be discussed about Saudi Arabia in the formal institutions of the wonderful U.S. democracy unless the executive branch chooses to permit it to be discussed. Since it's obvious that the nature of the arrangement is one no president would ever want discussed, the whole matter of Saudi Arabia is like talking about another planet when it comes to what goes on inside the U.S. congressional system. For example, the deal is that Saudi Arabia would have eternal, literally eternal to the end of time, military security from the United States in return for turning over all its oil and gas to the United States.
What a fabulous call, Gary, in Canada. I really couldn't put that better, and I'm not going to try. Gary, stay in touch with us. We need your voice regularly here on the show. Let's go to Germany now. Talk to Eric about Bahrain. Eric, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, sir.
Very short, first of all, I just wanted to say, seeing all the news, British TV, German TV, I was just thinking, if we so-called Westerners, when we go to Middle East or somewhere like that, with Muslim population, if they don't spit in our face and don't lynch us on sight, probably it is because of work like people like you, and therefore a very short thank you, sir.
Thank you, Eric. That's a very powerful and very kind thing to say.
Yeah, Mr. Galloway, the second thing is, in fact, I wanted just to say something about Bahrain, but as I saw the mob in Britain calling themselves English Defense League, It reminded me about the same, even uglier mob here in Germany, and probably the same is in Holland. And therefore, I just wanted to say also something about this matter, attack on woman, regardless, Muslim or not Muslim, eight so-called men attacking a woman, that's disgusting, you know. And what amazed me was the Israeli flag in the
Well, I was going to raise that with you, Eric. These are Hitler-loving, fascist youth.
Yes.
Holding up the flag of a state which calls itself, though we don't accept the nomenclature, the Jewish state. You really couldn't make it up. And the Israelis, by the way, welcome this support. They're actually in league with this support. There's plenty of evidence for it.
And that's the point. I was amazed to see the Israeli flag, and it is a very known fact, at least here in Germany. I don't know about Britain. Let's go a bit back to Second World War. It's really stupid from these Zionists. I don't want to say Jews. The Zionists, if they think. Applying and appealing to the most primitive instinct of Europeans, namely the fascism, might save them as they did in this country, in Germany, in Second World War. If you go to the history of Second World War, you see that the Jewish lobby, they brought Hitler, in fact, to power in order, together with Sir Winston Churchill, because they thought he might be a bulwark, a bastion against the so-called Bolsheviki, and they could destroy the Soviet Union. What then happened, as you know, is known, the Holocaust, the mass murder of the Jewish people, innocent Jewish people, thanks to J.P. Morgan and ThyssenKrupp in Germany and the rest. And therefore, I just want to say here on your channel to the Zionists, not the poor Jews, they themselves are a victim. To the Zionists, I want just to say, you are really stupid if you think the rise of fascism, because these are the Zionists who are promoting Islamophobia in our countries, if they think the rise of fascism and anti-Islam sentiment in Europe will help them in the fight and struggle against Palestinians and, as they think, against Muslims, you know?
Okay, and Eric, thanks for that call. A powerful one. Hamid is in Switzerland, and he wants to talk about Saudi Arabia. Hamid, welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Galloway.
How are you watching us in Switzerland, on television or on the internet?
Yes, Press TV. I watch you on TV. We had difficulty getting you
excellent,
on the air,
excellent.
For a while. But thank God.
Good for Switzerland, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you very much for what you're doing, Mr. Galloway.
Thank you.
What I was listening, and you were mentioning about Saudi Arabia in Paris and London, and I was going to tell you, sir, Geneva is another place. That
you're right. I should have mentioned that. There's a lot of the money sloughed away there.
Yeah, they have their private banks. We have the Saudi Arabian private banks. And what they do is from all over Europe, they invite the VIP prostitute. That's very well known. Everyone in Geneva knows that all VIP prostitutes from all over Europe, they come to Geneva for their clients. They are mostly Saudi Arabian, from Qatar, from Dubai, from Kuwait. And they come and spend their money. So this hypocrite, pathetic hypocrites, talk about democracy and justice.
And talk about Islam.
And they talk about Islam.
How about that? How's that for hypocrisy?
Last year, there was a case, you would love this one. Last year, one of them purchased a Rolex watch, which usually costs around $10,000, and he wanted to put $150,000 diamond on it. So they had to refuse because they couldn't mount a diamond on that on that watch. So he was suing the jewelry store because he was dissatisfied with the service. Can you see how they're spending money? Plus, they come over in summer. They buy the Lamborghinis, Porsche, and all these latest model cars. They spend 3-4 weeks driving around Geneva with their friends, and then they ship them, they fly them back home, and then at the end of the summer, they go back home. So that's Saudi Arabian. Now, one thing, Mr. Galloway, is that we in this area, in France, in Geneva, in France, we get the same TV and television and communication system. We are completely cut off from outside world. If it wasn't because of Press TV and you, we wouldn't hear anything what's about going on.
Well, thanks, Hamid. That's very powerful testimony. There's only one caveat I wish to enter, and it's this. The vast majority of people in Arabia, what they call Saudi Arabia, by force they called it Saudi Arabia, the vast majority of people in Arabia are sincere and decent Muslim people. We must never judge them by the conduct, the disgusting, filthy, sinful, greedy, and pathetic conduct of the kind that you have just described, which is carried out by their so-called leaders. Thanks a lot, Hamid. A great call from Switzerland. Let's go to the comment wall and take a couple of emails. Remember, we want all points of view up here. We want all countries up here. This one is from Birmingham, the UK. Khadija, Salam George, will anyone stand up in the House of Commons and ask UK Prime Minister Cameron to denounce Saudi Arabia's shooting and detention of human rights cleric Nimr al-Nimr? Well, not now, Khadija, because they just closed the parliament today for a very, very, very long summer holiday. People like me, of course, won't be on holiday. We'll continue to work, but most of them are already on their way to the beach. We may have time for another one email, in fact, up here on the comment wall, if I'm not wrong. Failing that, we'll go to Barry on the telephone lines. I think we're going to Barry, who's in Norway. My goodness, we're getting around the world this evening. He wants to talk about Libya and Saudi Arabia. Barry in Norway, welcome.
Hello again, Mr. Galloway.
Good to hear from you, sir. Go ahead.
Mr. Galloway, remember, number one, that our prayers and blessings goes to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I want to talk about Saudi Arabia. I think all Muslims should come together, in fact, and then stop going even for these worshippings, you know, in Saudi. Let us stand and help for our fellow Muslim brothers. I'm not going into Islamic details or the Quranic details or religion details, but still, as Muslims, as it is narrated in the Quran, Muslims should always stand for humanity. When you see your fellow human beings suffering, come together and stop it. So those King Saudi families, you know, these are not original or original Muslims. In fact, I think they should go out of Saudi Arabia and live the normal, beautiful, clean Muslims.
Yeah, why don't they go and live in Geneva? They could have all the prostitutes
Absolutely.
And all the gambling and all the private banks that they like. Why
Absolutely.
Do they stay in Saudi Arabia?
This is the thing. And secondly, if you see them in Saudi tying their heads around, putting on all these white gowns on them, making
hurrying to the prayer, hurrying to the prayer, but not quite as fast as they hurry to the bordello and the casino in Geneva.
This is the thing. And then secondly, that's not only, they don't only spend money. It's not only for cars, because I have the man from Geneva and from Germany, Eric, you know, all what they were saying, it is completely true. The thing is, in fact, these people are going to Europe, you know, in Geneva and even in London and also in
America.
You can be sure
in London.
You know, these expensive prostitutes, you know, spending millions of dollars, you know, on prostitutes and expensive money while innocent people are dying in Saudi Arabia and certain parts of the world. And when it comes to Libya, look, this is what, you know, Africans, in fact, I'm talking on behalf of Africa. All African leaders should come together and make Africa a better place. You know, this is what the West want. They want Africa to depend behind them. Let them be just hanging like tails. They don't, you know, and look what they did in Libya now is spreading straight to Mali. You call this democracy? You know, they've killed an innocent president, a great man, a great revolutionary, you know, Colonel Gaddafi. But you know what? Gaddafi is gone, but Libya will never be Libya again. Never. Never, Mr. Galloway. And I would like you to add your comments on this.
I don't agree with you that Gaddafi was a great leader. In fact, I think he was a disastrous leader. And anyone who's been to Libya and seen how it is or was, and probably it's worse now, compared to the amount of oil revenue that this small country had over the 40 years of Gaddafi's dictatorship, could not credibly describe Gaddafi as a great leader. But if there's one thing you can say about the current setup, it is that the people who killed him are even worse than him. Even worse than him. And it doesn't get much more powerful a point to make than that. Barry in Norway, a good call nonetheless. Let's hear from Ali in the UK on Libya. Ali, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, sir.
And you, sir. Go ahead.
Firstly, I would like to ask to thank you for your stance with the real Libya. I know you disagree a lot with Gaddafi, but in my point of view, Libya needed to move even gradually from what you called a dictatorship and what I would call maybe an authoritarian government to a democratic country. But the fact that the West interfered in Libya is only made things worse. I witnessed 3 months of the fighting in Libya because I went to my city, which is Sirte, and I saw the savages, people who came to Sirte to in the name of democracy and liberation.
Hanging black people from trees in the name of democracy, wiping out villages and ethnic minority populations in the name of democracy. Torturing people in the name of democracy, executing them in the back of the head in the name of democracy.
Exactly, that's what they did. And I myself tried to speak to the British government about what they are doing at the moment now. There's about 30,000 prisoners who are being tortured on a daily basis. Now there may be a war now in Libya. While I'm speaking to you, there is like a high tension between the city of Misrata and the city of Beni Waleed on a political, because Beni Waleed took a political stand and they stood what they thought that what would be for the benefit of the country. Now they are trying to pressurize the city to make them surrender to what they want. Now Libya is bleeding and the West looking away to Syria.
Well, I don't think they're looking away, Ali. I think this is what they intended. They always intended that Libya should bleed, and the more that it bleeds, the more it will be dependent upon them. The more the oil and gas companies can go in and loot the country, steal the people's wealth. In fact, they don't want to have a country called Libya at all. They want Libya to be one country, two countries, three countries, five countries, no country at all, just a collection of emirates. In fact, that's what they would like the entire region to be, a collection of emirates, the better to be divided and ruled so that we could more efficiently steal their things. Ali, thanks for the call. Let's go to Zambia in Africa. Talk to Moses. How could I resist it? About the Olympics. Moses, welcome, and I don't got to say that often. Go on.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, sir. Go on.
Okay, for the UK security, I think they really need the security. You know, because of the history of the country with maybe the involvement in the wars in the Afghanistan and the Arabic countries. You know, so there, I think I can understand because it's really tricky. And, you know, Britain is just an island. So any slight hit there, it can be a very big problem. So I think they need that security. But now coming back to the African continent, you know, I've been disappointed by the general media. You know, we are treated as if we don't know anything, as if we are not educated, as if we are not thinking, as if we are not planning for the future. Mr. Galloway, I can assure you, Africans, we are seeing what is happening in the world, okay? We are seeing the technology, and then on the internet, the availability of the technology, you know, in future, we'll be able to produce all the necessary technology to defend or to attack. Don't forget that in Africa, we have got the natural resources, okay? Anything, almost anything which can be found in any other country in Africa, it's there.
Jose Sikalele, Africa. That's what I've got to say to you, Moses. I believe in Africa. I believe that Africa has a great future, but it has to deliver political leaders. It has to generate political leaders. And we've got to keep them alive. Moses, we're looking at the agony of the Congo, where Patrice Lumumba, the greatest of all African leaders, was murdered by colonialism. And look what's happened now to the Congo, which should be the richest country in the continent. Look what's happened to Nigeria, which should be the richest country in the continent. It's all about leadership. That's what we need in Africa. Lindsay German, my old friend from the Stop the War Coalition, she's on the line, I'm glad to say, about the Olympics, and this is the final caller. Lindsay, welcome.
Hi, George.
Marvellous to hear from you. What a surprise. Go ahead.
Well, I'm campaigning against the missiles in East London. I think it's absolutely incredible. We're now going to have 17,000 troops in the Olympics, working around the Olympics. This is more troops than there are in Afghanistan. They've got missiles sighted on the roof of blocks of flats in East London. What on earth do they think Londoners are going to do to put up with all of this? I think it's completely disgraceful, and I think they want to have a situation where now we're going to be familiar with the military and expect to see the military every day, and that isn't what people in London want.
Do you remember when Hamas were accused of sighting missiles in residential areas? Do you remember the hue and cry about that? What's the difference between that and Britain sighting rockets and missiles amongst people's houses against the will, by the way, of the people whose houses there are?
Well, it's very interesting that in the block of flats in Waltham Forest, a lot of the people in there are people who are very, very much opposed to it. Many of them are asylum seekers. They've been given these houses, and they have just, their wishes have just been overruled by the Ministry of Defence and by the government, who've just said this can happen. And as you say, anybody else you can imagine, with all sorts of places, in Syria if this happened, you can imagine what they'd say. In Iran if this happened, you can imagine what they'd say. This will be the most militarised Olympic Games ever in its history, and what a disgrace that is in a city like London.
Indeed, Lindsay German, my old friend from the Stop the War Coalition. It's been marvellous, at least for me. I hope it was for you. And if it was, bring another viewer along with you next week, God willing, at the same time, in the same place. Till then, go in peace.
Just make sure your volume's set to zero.
Zero, zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You need to put through this phone number.